You are listening to the Gateway Church located in Ferriesburg, Michigan. You can learn more about us by visiting thegateway.church or like and follow us on Facebook, where you can watch full services, keep up with all that is going on, and get connected.
How many of you guys love Christmas? Come on, let me hear you. All right, at Christmas. So in my household, this is the truth, Christmas starts November 1st. The Christmas music, our Christmas tree is up already at our house. And I know some of you, you're shaming us and you can't believe it. It's because Jessica loves Christmas so much. We have a Christmas series that is already in the works. We're going to be talking about the different characters seen in the Christmas story. But it's not Christmas. Let's not just blow through these next 4 weeks. It's just November. So let's slow the roll and enjoy it all. Enjoy it all, Jessica's saying. I love it. And the next 4 weeks is really, my heart is to follow up our missions encounter. We're actually going to tackle an entire book of the Bible, one of the most popular books of the Bible, a familiar story. We are going to be looking at the book of Jonah. How many know about Jonah? Come on, let me see your hands, all right? This is what I want you to do. I'm going to count 30 seconds. I want you to turn and share the story of Jonah. On your marks, get set, go to someone. Tell them, what do you know about Jonah? All right, what is it? Turn around, tell somebody. All right, we're halfway there, 15 seconds. What do you know about Jonah? Good. 10 seconds. 8, 7, 6, 3, 2, 1. All right, time's up. Did anybody in the room describe Jonah as a story that displays God's missionary heart? Anybody? Oh, a couple people. All right. You telling the truth. That's amazing. I love it. I love it. That's exactly what Jonah is. And you can read the entire book of Jonah in about 10 minutes. But let's be honest. How many of us wonder if it's fact or fiction? Anybody willing to put your hand up to that saying, yeah, I've wondered. See, there are critics that will say, well, it's a historical narrative. It's a literal. It literally happened. And I tend to believe that. There are others that would say it's historical parable, just a story. And it's hard to believe that a man could be swallowed up and live inside of a fish. And for those of you that think more that way, let me just say, it's up there on the things in the Bible that are hard to believe. But let's think of some other things. How about Genesis 1:1? God created everything. How about the virgin birth? Okay, these are hard things that are in Scripture that we believe. How about parting the Red Sea or any of the miracles of Jesus, walking on water, and even Jesus' resurrection? These are hard things to believe, but they're in Scripture. And I'll say, Jonah, even though we've got the big fish there, the big whale, it's not a fishy story. It is not a parable. It doesn't read that way. It doesn't say once upon a time. In fact, Jonah is described in other places in Scripture, 2 Kings being one, talks about the prophet Jonah. He was a real person. Jesus even references Jonah in Matthew chapter 12. And in regards to the big fish, even though it's in our look, 3 verses, literally, out of the entire book talk about the big fish. Jonah actually is a story about someone like you and me. That's a fact. A story about struggle. A story about calling. A story about disobedience. Anyone ever been disobedient? There, all the hands should go up. And a God who gives us second chances. That's Jonah. And I want us for the next month to not look at this story through a window or through a screen. Instead, I want us to study this through a mirror, like we're looking into a mirror where we see our own tendencies, where we find ourselves in the story. And it's interesting, as I studied Jonah, when in the Jewish cultures at Yom Kippur, they would read Jonah out loud, and at the end, they would say something that I want us to say here in a minute. They would say, "We are Jonah." In other words, we're no better than Jonah. We are Jonah. So I want you to stand, and we're going to read the first chapter of Jonah. And at the end of that, I want us to say, "We are Jonah." But let's just practice it so we get it. We are Jonah. Let's listen to the word of the Lord.
The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. "How can you sleep at a time like this?" he shouted. "Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives." Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. "Oh, why did you do it?" they groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, "What should we do to you to stop this storm?" "Throw me out into the sea," Jonah said, "and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault." Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. "Oh, Lord," they pleaded, "don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh, Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons." Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's say it together.
We are Jonah.
Lord, help us to take this story that's so familiar and just to apply it to our lives. Lord, speak through the foolishness of preaching. God, pierce our hearts and help us to be more like you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to start by talking about Jonah's struggles. We've all had struggles. We can relate to Jonah in this, but it's interesting that Jonah struggles at the start, and he's actually struggles at the finish of this book. He is at the end of the story, he says he is still so angry, angry enough to die at the end of the story. And so it doesn't get much better for Jonah. But I want to say he is a real person, just like we are real people. There's a historical record of his life. He describes himself as a Hebrew. We see in 2 Kings he's called a prophet. Whether he was a good one or a bad one, there is a debate among commentators, like, did he really do what God called him to do? And then he was a worshiper of God. But what I want you to see is that he struggled. He struggled with his calling. He struggled with his purpose. He struggled with God's plan, with God's will for his life. And what was God's will? It was God's will for him to go to Nineveh. Verse 2, we see that Nineveh was a great city. It was the capital city of Assyria. And if you look on a map, if you look on our map on the wall out in the lobby, you can look to modern day Iraq. And so when you read this and you start to understand maybe some of his disdain, it's interesting. This was where the ancestors of ISIS and the Taliban came from. They were enemies of the Jews way back then. They were wicked. They were a Gentile land. And not only were they Gentiles, they were cruel, brutal, violent warriors. They would sexually abuse women. They would burn children alive. They would torture adults by skinning them alive. And sometimes after skinning them alive, they would bury them up to their waist and leave them to suffer. And this was the threat, a huge threat to Israel, to God's people. And so when Jonah hears, go to Nineveh, he's saying, and you might have said, I cannot stand these people. The idea of favor or grace or mercy for Nineveh, Jonah is saying, no way. And so Jonah, in the story, rationalizes his disobedience, and he runs from God. But before we get too far and we say, oh, man, Jonah, what are we going to do? We're going to look at the story as if we're reading it in a mirror. How would you have felt, especially maybe knowing some of those things? What would you have done? Well, Jonah, he goes down to Joppa, to a place where he gets on a ship, and he's headed now to Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is a hard word to say. If I mess it up, don't throw tomatoes, okay? But Tarshish, you say, well, why Tarshish? Well, if you look on the map out on our wall, or if you look on, you can look it up on your phone, or you can look in the back of your Bible at the maps. Literally, Jonah was called to go to Nineveh, which was about 500 miles away, and Tarshish was 2,000 miles the other way. So in other words, literally, it was the farthest city away from Nineveh. That's where he was headed to. It would be like us being here in Spring Lake or Grand Haven. And did you know that New York City is 505 miles away, where Pastor Bobby is running probably right about now? 505 miles, and being called to go there, but instead going all the way to California. That's what the picture is. He is running from God. And again, before we get too judgmental, let's pull up the mirror and say, okay, Jonah, he had a personal issue with Nineveh. He did have a bad attitude, and we see that throughout. But how many times do we put ourselves in the place of God, and we judge, or we think we know better than God? And Nineveh, in his mind, and maybe in some of our minds, was they do not deserve repentance. Send someone else, Lord. I'm not your guy, God. Or it could be that it's hard to call out repentance if our own hearts and lives have inconsistencies. Could it be that Jonah was struggling in some way? We don't know. But we are Jonah, aren't we? And then when you consider God's call, the story of Jonah, I wonder how many of us are on a boat heading to Tarshish. Let's look in the mirror, where we are avoiding what God has told us to do, his call, his plan. Again, we are Jonah. Let's look at that calling for a second. Jonah's calling, he has a word from the Lord in verse number 1. Now, was it an audible voice like Abraham heard, or was it a vision like Peter or Ezekiel had from the Lord, or was it a dream like Joseph had from God? We don't know, but we know that there was the word of the Lord for Jonah. Before we go too much further, we are still hearing the word of the Lord. God is still speaking to his people. often in a still, small voice. Sometimes it's with an impression, or maybe a Holy Spirit, or a friend comes and shares something, or maybe you're reading God's word, and you're like, man, that's the word of the Lord for me. Well, Jonah, he had a clear call to go to Nineveh, not to Jerusalem or Shechem or Joppa or Tarshish. It was clear, it was urgent, and he was to announce judgment on the land. It was not vague. Again, it was crystal clear. Go and preach. Let's pull that mirror out for a second. Did you know that God has a crystal clear plan for each of us as well? He's calling each of us at different times. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. He will direct your paths. Romans 8:28, that we are called according to his great purpose. We all have a plan and a purpose, and we're called to obey that plan. But what's interesting in the story of Jonah, everybody else, everything else obeyed God except for the prophet Jonah. Think about it. The waves obeyed, the lots that caused Jonah to be singled out, the storm, the fish, and later on in the story, even the worm obeys God. But Jonah is disobedient. Let's talk about his disobedience. Jonah says no. Let's look at it. Verse 3. But Jonah. I have this underlined in my Bible. You might want to underline it. These are might be the saddest two words in the whole story. But Jonah got up and went to the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Wow. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Did you know that rebellion is simply saying no to God? We talk about Jesus being the Lord of our lives, right? So lordship is a term that we will throw around sometimes as believers. Well, lordship is not lordship if it's not absolute and total. It's not lordship. It's not real if it's not absolute and total. And Jonah walks away literally from the presence of God. It says there to get away from the Lord. Some versions will say away from the presence of God. And I wonder how many of us run from the presence of God. God speaks something hard to do. Maybe he speaks into a relationship that there needs to be a divide or a relationship that needs to be healed or the things, and we run from what God says. Maybe God speaks into a sin issue in our lives and we just bury it and we say it's not a big deal. Or a business practice, God speaks into it and we don't move in that way. Or even how busy we are as people these days, and we hear the word of the Lord to cool it, and we say, well, someday I'll stop. Or maybe you've showed up today, or maybe you're online today, you're looking good, and maybe you've got your family, and you know, you're picture perfect. Well, let's look into the mirror today. We are Jonah. All of us are prone to wander. And that's a reality. It's not an excuse to wander, but it is a reality. And in this story, Jonah says no to God, to his calling. Let's talk about that for a second. God's calling, his plan for your life. Can you get your mind around this idea that you are never farther from God than when you say no, for whatever the reason is? And often it's sin. To know what God wants and not to do it, let's just call a spade. That is sin. And in Jonah 1:3, we already read it, but Jonah gets up. He went down the opposite direction. He went down to the port of Joppa where he found a ship leaving Tarshish. He bought the ticket, went on board. And what I want you just to hear is that a boat appeared for him. And the truth is, if we want to run from the presence of God, there will always be a boat ready to sail to Tarshish. For Jonah, I'm sure in his mind, he's like, well, it's okay. It'll all work out. God's provided a boat. Look, here we go. Absolutely not. If you want to run from God, there will always be a ship ready to sail. And that is the enemy's plan. If you want out of your marriage, how many know there will always be someone to flirt with? If your eyes are prone to wander, there will always be something to look at that's inappropriate. If you tolerate greed in your life, there will always be a great deal that you just can't pass up, and you end up buying, even if you can't afford it. People say all the time, well, I had a piece about it. Or it'll all work out. Or there's a boat. Look, God has provided. Or it's not a big deal. God will forgive me. Or it's not the unpardonable sin, right? Can we pull out the mirror and say, we are Jonah? Is Satan numbing your heart with sin? Small things lead to decay. It is a slippery slope. And all of a sudden, there's the affair? No, that's not how it works. It happens moment by moment. A bad outward decision is the result of your spirituality eroding over time. And when I was studying this, my mind went to rip currents. How many of you have ever been caught in a rip current? Maybe in Lake Michigan, or maybe you've been to the ocean. My parents used to live in Fort Lauderdale. We'd visit there, and we'd get out, and we'd be playing in the water, and all of a sudden, literally, we are down in like 5 or 6 hotels down from where we started. That's just the way a rip current will just pull, right? And as I was thinking about that, how it relates to Jonah's story, there's a theme, and you can look at it, and when you read it and reread it this month, I want you to notice how many times it says Jonah went down, 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 right? Small disobedience lead to total disaster. There's a story, and I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but earlier this year, I was in El Salvador with Logan, my son. He lived there for a month. I took him there for the first week. It was a great trip, and I am a good swimmer. I love the ocean. I have saved people from rip currents, literally. And I'm in El Salvador, and I thought it was a good idea. There were professional photographers in the water videoing surfers, and I thought, oh, I can do that for Logan. And so I get a boogie board, I get a GoPro, put fins on, and I head out into the ocean to get Logan. And it was over my head, so I couldn't, my feet were not grounded, and literally, I could not, for the life of me, stay in the spot I needed to be to get the shot for Logan. And I'm like, screw it, forget it. And I'm drifting. If I'm not swimming hard, I'm moving. And I got to the point, and then I'm like, I got to get back in. And I start going back in. And after some time, and I don't know how long this was, I'm feeling exhausted. I'm like, Logan, I'm over here. Maybe you could come and help me. Literally, the lifeguard comes and saves me. It was embarrassing. Logan was embarrassed. I'm sorry, buddy. And I think that's the way sin is. Our feet are not on solid ground anymore. It is subtle. And the point is, you may never get back. I like to call it the drift of sin. And again, in the story, down, down, down. It's several times. You can underline it, highlight it as you read and reread over the next few weeks. Listen, an affair starts with small compromises. If you're stealing or cheating, it often will start small. Beware of the drift of sin. Beware when you're running from the presence of God. because it will cost you, and it cost Jonah a lot. Jonah's disobedience was costly. The ship fare alone, the ship breaking apart, the cargo that they're throwing over in the story. You might read that or hear that. Listen, the cargo that they're throwing over represents the profits of the sailors. They're losing money because of Jonah's disobedience. And not only the stuff, the sailors' lives are affected by Jonah. It's costly all the way around. Listen, when you are a bad father, it affects your kids. If you're an unfaithful spouse or an unfaithful friend, it affects those around you. Let's get that mirror out. Our disobedience affects our family. It affects our kids. Don't you hate it when you see sinful tendencies in your kids that you've struggled with for years? How does that happen? Well, Scripture says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. God will not be mocked. The most expensive thing a person does in their life is run from God. It'll cost you until you repent. And I would say the flip of that is so important. Your greatest gift to someone in your life is your personal walk with the Lord. So for those that are married, your spouse, your relationship with the Lord is your greatest gift to your spouse. Same thing for us that are parents. The greatest gift we can give our kids is our relationship with Jesus. Our friends, our coworkers, even our church family. The greatest gift you could give this church family is you having an on-fire relationship with the Lord. Sinners run from God. That's the story of Jonah. But it's also the story that God pursues us. God sends a wind, and he sends the waves, and he makes the lot go to Jonah. And God provides the fish, all for Jonah's sake. God pursues us. Remember, we're looking in a mirror. We're saying, we are Jonah here. You have not gone too far. Think of the story of the prodigal son. We won't explore the whole story. But your heavenly Father misses you if you've been running. The Lord's pursuit is a pursuit of mercy and grace. He will send a storm. He will send a fish. But know this, that God is too merciful and too loving to let his kids, that's us, drift into rebellion without disciplining them. Hebrews 12:6, the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. For those of us that have raised kids or are raising kids, we discipline our kids because we love them. We want them to come in order, right? The same is true with our Heavenly Father. God will not let you get comfortable in your sin. He will get your attention, even through the foolishness of preaching. Proverbs 13:24 talks about God's heart for us to know. Listen to what it says. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. So as we look in the mirror, as we contemplate this story, we say, we are Jonah. Ask yourself, where are you prone to flee the presence of God? Do you have a small view of God? Do you elevate yourself in your own views of God, saying, my way is better? Have you been in a storm? Are you running from God now? Are you on a ship headed to Tarshish? The question for Jonah, I would say, is we should look at is, does Jonah's life get better when he runs from God? No. It's down, 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 right? And so where are we going down? Where are we rationalizing our own sinful behaviors? We could rationalize around the way we spend our money, around our marriages. We can rationalize our sin with our kids or the gossip, the way we our mouth will just blabber, or maybe at the music we listen to, we'll rationalize it away, or our entertainment or media, or our, the way we get angry, or it could be 100 other things. And the point of this series, the point of the reason we're here together is to acknowledge those things, to say, all right, Holy Spirit, speak to us, and then to repent. I've learned this a long time ago, that delayed obedience is actually disobedience. This is worth taking a picture of or writing down in your Bible somewhere. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Truth is that sin is folly. It's foolishness. And it will lead to turbulence in your life. It will disturb your mind. It will disturb your marriage. It will disturb our schools, our businesses, our cities, our nation, even our church. But God, He pursues us, and His desire is that we would repent. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 really gives us a picture of God's heart for repentance. It says this: the Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, that's Him coming back for the church, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. That's the word of the Lord for someone here today. God has been patient with you, but He's drawing you. And look what it says. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but He wants everyone to repent. One of the missionaries that will be coming later next week, next year, 2025, Dick Brogdon, says the only bad time to repent is later. I love that. For me, in El Salvador, it would have been stupid for me not to take the help from the lifeguard. Would you agree? And we need to take the word of the Lord, His promptings, and obey. I want to tell you one other quick story, and then we're going to bring the team. A few years back, a lot of years back now, after we were first married, I'm a kids pastor in Dayton, Ohio. And it was 1998 or 1999, and in Florida, there were some revival services at Brownsville Assembly. How many remember hearing about that? Anybody gone, went maybe? Jessica and I, we went with a whole team. I think we had two Greyhound buses or big charter buses we took down from our church. And I'm the kids pastor. I'm on the trip, so I'm kind of one of the leaders. And what was interesting is in the presence of God, it was so heavy that at the end of the service, they gave a salvation call, and literally, I got up and I ran to the altar. Now, I have given my heart to the Lord. My grandma led me to Jesus when I was November 12th, 1985. I was 9 years old. And I really had a soft heart towards God. But in the presence of God, they talked about sin that night. And I'm saying, I am a sinful person. I need to confess. I need to get my heart right with the Lord. And I tell you that just to encourage you that when we experience the presence of God, or we are even in a message like this that's kind of a hard message, and maybe the Lord reveals an area of your life that is not pleasing, our answer should be a quick yes to whatever God's asking us to do. A turn away from that sin as quickly and as efficiently as possible. And trust me, I don't get it right all the time. I don't even remember what I was dealing with then. Doesn't matter. But today, I'm going to ask the team to come, and I just want to ask three questions. And this is for every single one in the sound of my voice, even those that are online. I want to first talk about repentance, then I want to talk about God's calling, and then I want to talk about a word from the Lord. The first thing is repentance. Did you realize that God, He pursues us, and it's the Bible says it's His kindness that will lead us to repentance? He's given us a chance to respond and to say we're sorry. And repentance is saying I'm sorry and then turning and going the other way. So putting those things behind. And I just believe that this series, and even in this moment, the Lord is calling us to repent of the sin that's in our lives. And I am not the Holy Spirit. I am not going to call out your sin. The Holy Spirit can do that with better accuracy and way more conviction than I could. But when the Spirit of God reveals something in your life that's not pleasing, something that you've just pushed to the side and said it's no big deal, or you've justified, I promise you, a quick yes to Jesus, having Him cleanse you of that sin, a confession of our sin, it's the best way to live. The second thing is our calling. A lot of people wrestle with God's call on their lives. And you might be here today, and maybe there's been something specific that God has asked you to do, and you've put it on the shelf, or you've said no. You're saying, nah, not me. That must have been some bad pizza, right? And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit has revealed something for you to do, to be, to go, to give, to say, whatever the case might be. And you have been living, let's just call it the way it is, in disobedience. You've been running away from God, away from His presence. And then the third is just a word from the Lord. For some of you, that's a foreign concept. It might be something that you're not used to, like a word from the Lord. What does that look like? I think the best example I could give, and I didn't talk about it first service, but I was on my couch in my house a few years back, had shingles, and someone called and said, hey, I feel like I might have a word from the Lord for you. And he was one of my best friends. He came over. He was here for first service. That's what it reminded me after we talked about it. And he said, I feel like the word of the Lord is that you don't listen to Jessica very well. And he was right. And he also said, and I don't mean to be, make that light, sorry, I'm still working on that one. And then he also said that you don't rest well. And he was dead on. And so it can come through a variety of different ways. But when the Lord speaks, we want to be quick to answer with a yes. I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm not going to embarrass anyone here, I promise. We are Jonah. In fact, let's say that together. We are Jonah. But if you're here today and you are in the thick of your sin and you need to repent and it is clear to you exactly what you need to do, there's something that is displeasing to the Lord that's in your life, I want you just to raise your hand. We're going to keep our heads bowed, eyes closed. Just raise your hand right where you are. Just acknowledge, we are Jonah. Yeah, hands are all over the place. Yes, that was my expectation. I understand. I've been there. And just, I want you to see today as the kindness of the Holy Spirit, He's drawing you back. You've been running away from God, or you've been compartmentalizing your life, saying, God, you can have all these areas, but not this area. Well, today we're going to give God all of our lives. Again, if that's you, today is your day to ask Jesus to forgive you, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He will save you, He will forgive you. Secondly, if you're here and you say, yeah, I feel like the Lord has asked me to do something that I have been reluctant to do. I've been running from God in the sense of the calling or the purpose of my life. It could be a small thing or a big life thing. If you're saying, that's me, I'm wrestling with my calling, would you lift your hand as well? Yeah. Few less people, but I'm telling you, this is an important piece The truth is, I read all those verses. We are all called. God has a plan for each of us. He wants to get a hold of our lives. And then lastly, you may be here and you're saying, man, I'm facing some difficult stuff. I need a word from the Lord. If you're here and you're saying, man, I need a word from the Lord. I need some direction about an area. Would you just lift up your hand wherever you are? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I want us to stand and I want us to say together, we are Jonah here in a second. But we're going to close with a great song of repentance, of calling, the word of the Lord. Go ahead, let's stand as we prepare to close. I want to pray for you in a moment here. My prayer is that you will just press into this story, to see yourself in Jonah's story. Not be judgmental, but just to say, all right, Lord, what are you saying to me in this season? Let's say it together. We are Jonah. We are Jonah. Lord, I pray that you would just capture our hearts. And Lord, today we repent. We're listening to your call. And Lord, there are some here that desperately need a word from you. And God, we just know that in your presence, you can drop those words. You can send the right person. You can send a fish to help us. Lord, you can do it. And God, we are welcome to your move. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Father God, we're sorry. We're sorry that we stray from you, that we say no, that we don't, that we aren't obedient in the moment. God, but nothing is too far gone for you. You're the on-time God, and you always show up, God. Father, I pray that we're obedient in the moment. I pray that when you call, God, we answer. I pray that we don't take the boat away from you, God, but we follow you. We follow your path that you set before us, God, and we become more and more obedient in the moment, God. We don't let those moments pass up. And we don't say no to the person that you want us to speak to. God, that we would never pass up on a moment to share your love and your presence and your overwhelming grace and mercy that we have, God. Lord, I pray that we can go into our weeks, that we can reach the people that are close to us, God. You've called us to be your missionaries, God. You called us to go out and reach people, God, and love people. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient in the moment that you called us to be, God. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing and what you've done in our lives, God. Church, I pray that as you go into the week, that you listen to God and his little voice in those still moments, and that you would be obedient. Be blessed, church. Go throughout your week. Have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from the Gateway Church. If you'd like to find out more about our church, such as service times, giving, and ways to get connected, visit us at thegateway.church.